Super Garbage Day, a retro video game review show where my co-host and I randomly select a game, usually obscure 20 years or older, that neither of us have played, with hopes to find the treasures in the trash. I am your host, Bayou Ross.
And I'm your Gator Wrangling, Mr. Miller.
Gator Wrangling, Mr. Manglin.
Mr. Manglin.
Mr. Manglin. It is still Appreciation Month of Patreon. Whoa, whistle. Whoa. Not only did I say it backwards, I had the whistle in there. That was a garbage sentence.
Appreciation.
Appreciation. Whoa.
Hey. Did it again.
New skill unlocked. Wow. Watch out, ladies. Whistling Bayou Ross is in the building. It is Patreon Appreciation Month. Let's play that song.
Patrons! 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 Patrons!
Patrons! We have new patrons. Jerodimus Prime or Jerodimus Prime.
Jerodimus Prime?
Jerodimus Prime, yes. Do you know who that is?
I know my Transformers.
Okay. They're a new patron, as well as Artie J. Allen. Thank you for joining the garbage group, the garbage crew. I don't know what to call it yet.
Yeah, we can't use
the community.
The community.
The community. Mm-hmm. We have a Twitch, twitch.tv/supergarbageJ, and a YouTube, youtube.com/supergarbageJ. Go there for first impression videos or playthroughs, or I'm trying to upload a bunch of our old episodes to YouTube entirely. I'm slipping a little bit. I need to catch up on that. Of course, I have a new laptop, so I've moved all the information over from the old to the new.
Power overwhelming.
I love it. It's great. We would love podcast reviews, so if you listen on a platform that allows you to give reviews, even if it's just clicking 5 stars, or if you want to go as far and as kindly to type down a review for us, we super appreciate that. Helps us reach other people's ears. We have bonus
coming
episodes.
Coming to your ear holes.
Yes. We help us get to other holes. We have bonus episodes. I got another one coming up this week. I might do two actually this week. I said it last week and I didn't, but I'm trying. There was a big hiccup with the changing of the equipment guard. So, but yeah, I've got some good ideas. I want to do a review of Vampire Survivors.
Okay.
Because I always forget we have a third show that's in under this umbrella. That's just game reviews. Could be old, new, whatever. And now that I have a Steam Deck coming, I can play more games. I'm finally gonna play Elden Ring.
Yeah,
so
finally getting that one out of the way.
I haven't seen, I'm practically walking into a blind.
That's good.
Yeah, so I love the first Dark Souls and I love Dragon's Dogma, and I hear it's a mix of those.
Yeah, so you're gonna like this game a lot.
So what if I just hate it?
I'd be really surprised.
I think that's it. Yeah, so let's jump into the retro question of the week. This comes from me.
Ooh,
because
that's been a while.
It's been a while, but we're running out of retro questions of the week. So if you want to add your question, join the Discord, go to Retro Question of the Week channel and plug a bunch in, because we're getting short on them. Here we go. So Mr. Miller, what is a game console from the past that you would like to own and collect for if you had the money?
Past game consoles to collect for.
I think I can guess yours, but
I wouldn't mind having an old Commodore 64.
Really?
Yeah. It was busted and weird, and
it was cool though.
It was, but it had a lot of like sword and sorcery games on it.
I have the mini.
Yeah.
And it came with support for you just adding a flash drive with Commodore 64 games. It'll play them all seamlessly.
Oh yeah.
Came out of the box that way, yeah.
It's either that or having the whole Super Nintendo catalog would be cool.
That's cool. That's kind of my answer too, because yesterday I found a Super Nintendo Complete at Goodwill and I bought it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. It was the third time I went in there and I saw it and I was like, nobody bought that yet. I was looking at my little like 20% off coupon and it was priced pretty decently for being everything. Controller's kind of jank and it's one of those Super Nintendos that's got like the sun damage.
You can find controllers pretty easy though.
I wasn't too concerned with that, yeah. Especially the 20% off knocked off. Enough to make it well worth the purchase.
It's got that weird yellowed plastic.
Yeah, but I know how to take care of that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to restore. Plus, it's fun to do that. Also, I bought a Super Everdrive cart for it. That should be here in this week. which allows me to play all the Super Nintendo games on one cart, but it does it through hardware and not emulation. So if we have to do any, because Super Nintendo games are very expensive.
Yeah, they are.
If there's any one of them I want to collect other than Bassin's Black Bass, which I already own.
There you go. You put it in there.
I own that. I was playing that yesterday. I love that game. Definitely Earthbound, but that'll just be like a, I don't know.
Something I would like to play around with. I was actually thinking about this from, it's not technically a regret, but it's kind of like a lament. It's a memory I have of a birthday that I received a Super Scope game.
Oh yeah. Which one?
I didn't have a Super Scope. I think it was like the Yoshi one.
Okay.
But I just remember being
Yoshi's Vietnam Assault.
Basically. like that's kind of what it looked like.
I'm picturing the cover. It's just Yoshi with like the Born to Kill helmet. Oh, this is like to the side.
With his little playing card in there.
He's got a big rolled cigarette.
Goombas of the trees. But I just remember as a kid, like staring at that cartridge, and it was that one thing of just being like, well, I don't have the periphery to play this.
Right.
But I want to so bad. And it was, you know, you get that birthday present that you can't do anything with because we got to go exchange it now.
Right.
My parents didn't realize that it needed this $200 attachment to play.
Bazooka? Plastic, yeah. Bazooka?
But I really would like to mess around with that because I know there were some cool things for it.
I never played the Super Scope, and I think I played it only in like a demo situation at like a Blockbuster.
Yeah, I never even got to touch one, and I would love to.
Yeah, I don't know if it's any good or not, but I know it's weird. Like it's straight up an RPG.
Yeah.
So they went that route. Yep. So, which I thought was smart for their marketing team. They're like, well, we can't make a realistic gun.
It's not going to be a gun.
Yeah. But, well, you can't buy one of these.
Use the bazooka. Yeah.
Full Metal Yoshi. So sweet. Well, there you go. This week's game is, oh boy, The Adventures of Bayou Billy on the Nintendo Entertainment System.
Yeah!
Yale! Bayou! Boil bag!
Creole!
Bayou! Crawdaddy! I'm good at that accent, I'm telling you. I'm not that good, but I'm working on it. Anyways, Bayou! Bayou Billy, full. The Adventures of Bayou Billy is an action game released by Konami for the Nintendo Entertainment System on North America in 1989.
It was just dropped on our heads. We weren't ready for it.
The game employs three play styles that were popular at the time: beat 'em ups, light gun shooting, and racing. There you go. That was a good
R roll.
Thank you. I've been working on it. That and my Creole accent. Boil bag. Crawl, daddy. Gotta get that upper emphasis. Daddy. Crawl, daddy, moan on me. So.
Oh, we're going that route.
This is getting, I know, I'm trying. The only like Creole accent I recall at all is just Gambit. And it was always not good from the cartoons.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Oh, moan on me. that's the game. So let's just get into first impressions. So the game, I bought the actual cartridge. I played it on my actual NES, on my old school CRT. So I played it as pure as possible.
I'm jealous because you had a light gun.
Had a what?
I'm jealous because you had a light gun.
I did. Oh, yeah. I had the light gun. So I played the game as God intended.
Yeah.
And I can tell you from right when I fired it up, I thought, oh, that's a weird game. Like it's. Like I said last week on the episode, I confused this for a game called like Moondog or something, or Surf Dog, something that was on the Genesis that had like a surfer dude.
Okay.
I always confuse these two games. I never played this game in the past.
Oh, really?
So yeah, when I fired it up, I was like, this is not what I thought it was. And I immediately thought, wow, this game's hard as hell.
The Adventures of Bayou Billy. Oh, yeah,
you
got that. Yeah.
You know, it was kind of impressive, except for the gigantic font size 400 text scrolling across the screen saying nothing special. Like, are you able to
fight, win?
Yeah, take on Gordon. I'm like, why? That was unnecessary.
Let's fight in love.
It was so weird. The game was like overcompensating in the intro. It had so many things going on. It had like the graphics. It was showing like the and then like the giant text and then like the comic book style artwork. And then a voice work,
which is not in the Japanese version. I learned.
Probably in Japanese.
No, it's not. There's no. Really? There's no simulated voice in that.
Interesting.
which Mad City.
That's weird. Yeah, this is one of those games that has a very bizarre localization between Japan and North America.
We'll get to that.
Yeah, I don't know if the PAL version. I didn't look anything up on the PAL version, but
it's the American version.
I assumed. This game is very Konami in the way it looks and its sound. It's just something about Konami has like a soundboard of certain noises they use and they recycle, but they're never used for the same thing.
No, but that like their music tracks, yeah. And like it does have a Konami sound on it. You say that, I was like, yeah, I see it.
Yeah, it's definitely there. And the sprites look a little bit like Russian Attack ish. The music and the sound effects I recalled from like Track and Field 1 and 2, and like I can see the same sound effect they used for the crowd cheering was the same sound effect they used in Bayou Billy for the alligators like treading water.
Oh, that's funny.
So I was like, am I being applauded? But. Yeah, it's hard. When I first loaded up the start screen, I was kind of confused because I don't have the manual. So the only thing I lacked was the manual, which I read was really bitching. Like the manual was really cool. Like everything was hand drawn in it. And it was very comic booky.
Oh, that'd be cool to have.
Yeah. They actually had a complete in box version of this game at Video Game Headquarters where I bought my copy, but they wanted 50 for it. I thought they said 15.
For brand new?
Yeah.
Like, which is good. I mean, that's pretty good.
It's good.
But
they said
15. For a 30 plus year old game,
a complete box though, and it was in good condition.
I'm not a collector though, so
right. And I thought, well, I originally thought they said 15. I was like, yeah. And then I saw it said 50, and I was like, no.
Yeah.
So because I never played the game, I'm not going all in on that. Like, right. Was my only box game, a game I barely played. Well, not barely played, but attempted to beat. So yeah, the start screen is really confusing because it's without reading the manual, it's like. Game A, game B.
This is partially why I threw my controller across the room.
Practice. Oh, I bet. When we realize later on what game A and game mm-hmm. B meant. And then a practice mode, which is bizarre to me for a side scroller or I guess a beat 'em up or a draw, any kind of game. No other games I can recall that were light gun or Dragon Double Z. Dragon Double. That has a practice mode that rewards you if you beat the levels in the practice mode. And the practice mode
really
are their own levels that aren't even in the game. They're just like they're taken from that tile set of like however the beat 'em up side scrolling mm-hmm. section is, or the driving or the shooting. And they're super easy. And when you beat them, they give you a reward, an extra life or extra bullets, or you start with a weapon. Cool. I thought that was cool. But let's talk about game A and game B, right? Well, let's hear your first impressions.
Yeah. It's like you said, it's hard. But it's not even. It wasn't that the fighting itself was difficult.
Yeah,
it's long. That first level.
Oh, that gave me such a bad taste already.
So long. I was just like, when, like, is there a boss?
Yeah.
When do I, do I do this forever? Is this purgatory?
Like, I was expecting it to end like 3 times and it still didn't. And I'm like, I just want to see the boss.
I don't have any health left. I don't have any lives left.
Yeah.
I know there's no boss. I know there's more game later. Like, yeah. how is this going to go?
And then there's no boss.
Thank
God though. By the time I got to the end of the level, and I was like, "Oh, there's no boss." Thank God. There's
a lake full of alligators. I just have to run away from.
I just ran through a gauntlet of just being beat up.
Yeah.
By everything, nature, hoodlums.
Yeah.
Whatever, guys in scuba suits with guns and bulletproof vests. What?
Yeah. So, and immediately I chose game A because I was just like, "Yep, that should be just the normal way to play it." If right. you have a light gun,
right?
Why? And then you get through that gauntlet. And I can't do anything. It's like, now pick up your light gun. I was just like, mother.
You didn't have a light gun.
No.
I wonder how many kids in the past rented this.
Oh, yeah.
And or bought it.
And you finally get past that first level.
Why make the first option the light gun option?
It's funny because in the Japanese version, Mad City.
They're switched. See, there's something. I think the Japanese version. kind of was like the updated version of like, it was like the more like 1.2.
It came out before.
Did it?
Yeah.
Oh, it did.
It came out a year before. It came out
August 12th, 1988. Oh, wow. So they just made it worse for the US.
They just made it harder and
more confusing.
And more confusing for the American version.
Which doesn't normally happen.
No.
No, it's the other way around because Japanese developers had a hard time translating their games to America because they think that we couldn't handle the difficulty, i.e. or, you know, a la Super Mario Brothers 2.
Right.
So interesting. Yeah. That wasn't a problem for me.
You bastard.
Yeah.
Also, that level's so hard with a controller.
It's so easy with the light gun.
I bet.
I was flying through it. I think on my first playthrough on Twitch, and I'll upload it to YouTube ASAP, Rocky. Dude, I would like beat it really fast.
Bro, I guarantee. Like, I was just like, oh,
before
man.
They were even landing on the ground, I was smoking.
I want to just be like, baka, 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 so bad.
And it's cool. It's like, actually, I think it's well done because I didn't know what to expect. I haven't played a light gun in a while, but playing it all on the original hardware, at least I wasn't going to have any BS. Like, mm-hmm. And they did a good job with how it reacts, and it's the precision's okay. It's there enough for what it can do, but you only get half the ammo. I thought that was weird.
With the light gun?
Yeah, they give you 100 rounds with the controller, and they give you 50.
I would only need 50 with light gun.
I didn't miss a lot of shots, to be honest. And it was
because you don't ammo also doesn't deplete if you land the shot.
I know, but if you run out, you die immediately.
Exactly. Yeah, which is a big deal in the the controller version, because
you can just hold down on the button and it just rapid fires.
There were a lot of runs where I would get to the helicopter and just be like, well, I have 16 bullets and I'm not getting any power ups, so I just die and just
kamikaze it.
There's no point because there's 16 rounds is not enough to
you just got to focus on that helicopter and hope that, but you can't take it out of this life bar. You're like, no, don't have enough bullets.
Nope.
See, that's kind of messed up. They should have, and I know enemies, like smaller enemies, pop up during that boss scene on the second level. One of them should at least drop some ammo.
Yeah.
For that sake.
The funny thing, going back to the Japanese version.
Yeah.
They actually give you more ammo too for the ammo pickups. You start with 150 rounds.
Wow.
And you get 50 rounds per pickup.
That's a lot
versus the American version where you start with 100 rounds and you only get 40 per pickup.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, I guess they just were like, Americans are better at shooting. we don't have to give them that much. Oh, wait, why am I using like a Texan accent for a Japanese developer?
Yeah. Welcome to Japan, sir. Now mosey on over here to the sushi restaurant.
We like to cover ours with barbecue sauce here in Okinawa.
Yeah. Onichiwon, or what is it? Not Onichiwon.
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 You know what? The accent, it works.
Yeah. I do like your Texas Japanese guy. That's gonna be animated. Yeah. it's brutal, man. And it wears that on its sleeve. It doesn't care.
No.
The continues are kind of forgiving, though. You know, you get a finite amount, but
that was the most frustrating thing too. Is what's the definition of a continue?
Not starting you at the very beginning of the first stage.
No, but I mean, like, but how did you know you were gonna have one? As like, there were times where, you know, I'd have like, I'm just gonna pick it's like 9,000 points.
Yeah.
And I would go down to like 100 or like 1,000 points.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, okay, cool. Don't know what the math was there. And then I wouldn't get a continue after that. And it's just like, so it doesn't just set me down to zero and say, like, I had no idea if I was
gonna. The point system doesn't make a lot of sense either. And you get like random amounts of points when you complete levels. Like, to me, if you do that, just don't have a point system.
Yeah.
That's just
this
RNG.
This game doesn't need it a point.
No, and it's also that time period when they're coming out of that arcade port. It's because it's like 89, 90, when games still, for some reason or another, wanted to have point systems in it. Like Mega Man 1 is a good example. Like it had a weird, useless point system that didn't make any sense. That was
if you don't get an extra life at every 1,000 points or whatever, like what's the point?
Yeah, and I think people want to, perhaps it was like some way to prove you were better.
I can beat Bayou Billy with a high score of 3 million or whatever. Yeah.
Oh, I saw, I was at Jimmy's house and he got like 3 million points on Bayou Billy. I can prove he's good at it. You know,
but
that was like those were the benchmarks, I guess, of those times.
Yeah. You get more points for having lives at the end of levels and like having more bullets.
Yeah. But then there's also this random like thing that like will give you, once you, I don't even think it's every level. but there it was like a bonus amount and it just like rolls in. I don't know if it's actually random or not, but it gives the illusion that it is.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. The shooting stage to me is super easy if you have the gun. Sounds super hard. I didn't even mess with the controller.
Why would you?
I know.
The just gun. To torture yourself?
I had the gun, man.
Yeah.
Had my holster? No, I didn't. the driving sections are the hardest.
So
those are brutal.
I never got to the actual driving stage.
Oh no, really?
Because I would lose all my lives through the shooting stage.
Yeah.
Like I could get there reliably with two or three lives if I could find like a pickup or something in the first stage.
Yeah. Well, you start to learn the first stage pretty quickly and its quirks.
Yep. And then, you know, but by that shooting stage, it's you got to muscle through it so hard. And if you run out of ammo,
yeah,
lose a life.
If you're done,
you know, you really have to get really good at shooting the helicopter and then shooting the guys down below. Like
I learned to just take the damage and get the helicopter.
Can't do it with the controller.
I know
it's not reliable.
I know.
Like
I almost feel like the gun hits harder too.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Because you can't rapid fire with the gun like you can on the controller. You hold down the button and it's like machine gun style. But I feel like it was just taking everybody out easily. I was barely getting hit.
Yeah.
And so
then by the time I would get to the third level, get to the boss, I'd be on my last life with like one bar of health left. And he just walks up and just punched me in the face. I'm like, well, that's that.
Yeah, I think the enemies are the normal everyday beat 'em up enemies in this game are the hardest things. You are not getting away from these enemies without taking a hit. No. I don't care how good you are. I watched a speed run. I watched the person who has the world record in this game play this game. He gets his ass beat the entire time.
Oh yeah.
The entire time. And he's like, it's one of those things where it's like, I'm going to get hit no matter what. There's nothing I can do about it. And so, but I learned a little bit of how to beat some certain sections that way too, that I got kind of stuck at. Like I that's how I also realized the helicopter first person shooting. I'm calling it first person.
Yeah.
But the shooting stage, how to just focus on the helicopter, because you have enough bullets to take the helicopter out before you get killed. And it just wipes the screen of enemies.
Right.
So and then you get all your health back before you get to the next stage.
Mm.
But you're lucky you didn't get to the driving stage because, oh, my God,
I did do the practice driving
that
stage.
That was enough.
So I could give a review on it.
That's the easy version of it.
Yeah.
It's just like the rest of the gameplay where it's too long and just a tad bit too hard. The balancing's off.
Yeah.
But the driving stage, dude, are just a torture, dude. And you can make it so far and make one little mistake. You start all the way to the beginning because nobody tells you you can't shoot the rocks.
Mm-hmm.
You can shoot everything else. You can lob grenades at the helicopters.
Yeah, but you can't. If you lob a grenade, you can't shoot your gun then.
I know.
And so
it's like a big delay.
So if there's a car in front of you and you got to take that car out.
You got to make a choice.
Yeah. Like, and one hit kills you.
Which makes me want to remind everybody how good Outlander is at this mechanic. Because Outlander really did that well where you can do both.
Yeah.
Of course, we're talking about a system later. But I just always want to
drop Japanese it. Game.
Oh, let me guess.
You can shoot and throw grenades at the same time.
What happened in the translation?
You also have a hit point bar.
Oh, in the driving stage?
In the driving stage.
So it's not just one hit kill?
So you can take hits. There are gas can power-ups that refill fuel and health. So there's separate pickups. The road is wider.
It's a completely different game.
You don't have to regulate your speed. You can just get to top speed and make those turns no problem. You also don't have to hold the
up. Oh, I hated that.
You don't have up to. You don't have to hold
to accelerate.
The, yeah, you don't have to hold have the up button. Yeah.
Nope. Oh.
You could just get to top speed and then just drive.
I want to play the Japanese version.
I know. I'm like,
I should just go back and play Mad City.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds like a good game.
It sounds way better.
But it's so weird to me that it was first and then they decided to like mess it up and make it worse and then release it in the US. Well,
also, the third stage.
Yeah.
There's one fight and then the boss. You fight two dudes.
That's it.
Two red guys
with
weapons.
Oh, the guys that run and drop
kick. And and then you fight the boss versus the gauntlet.
Yes. I just continuously keep going and hopefully you kick a turkey out of some goodies pocket, but at least the gun's effective when you get it. But I feel like two shots is too much.
Well, yeah.
Just be like, bam, bam. Like, not like,
especially because they move as soon as you shoot them. So you can't be like, baka, baka.
They always move, too. Like, you can't. I had a good run, my second playthrough with it, where I was like, I really got the first level down. And I was really frustrated with the alligators. So I didn't really get to a point where I'm like, oh, I actually have to fight these things. Then I realized what you do.
Stand on the edge and wait for them to come to get to you and then kick them.
Takes forever, right? No, the stick. Get stick, get in the water. And then right before they come up and to bite you, you hit them and it makes them go back in.
Yeah.
So they don't end up biting you. But nothing tells me that. I'm not going to start doing that. Plus, all the items they drop go into the water and you can't see where they're at.
You just got to kill them.
Yeah, you just got
to
kill them.
Because there's no point in trying to get them while they're alive because they just pick them right back up.
Oh, and just like in real life, a gun's useless against them, right?
Yeah.
Just fly, bullet flies right over them.
Yep.
So, yeah, frustratingly hard, overly hard. Doesn't need, and especially with the contrast of the Japanese game existing and it being a perfect, more, just say a perfect version of Bayou Billy, right? Doesn't make sense to me that they would make so many changes. I don't even understand the logic behind it.
I honestly was just sitting there trying to figure it out myself. And yeah. The only conclusion is American got gun.
Yeah.
They good this game.
Make it hard. Oh, okay. Yeah. Your Japanese character has come a long way now. I mean, you still sound like Tibetan monk, but you're getting there.
But I'm trying to be as
unracist
as possible. I say
stick with the Texan Japanese accent. That's I think that's fair. All right, let's go in the graphics and audio. So, like I said before, this game looks and sounds very Konami. Konami generally at this time period was hitting home runs. I don't think this game is like, in a sense, ugly or sounds bad, but it's definitely got the Konami team behind it on graphics and audio. And it's got those larger sprites, those kind of goofy, taller characters. I guess it reminds me a little
very
bit,
straight back.
Yeah, like remind me like of Russian Attack a little bit, where you have like the blue guys and the red guys. They always got like the ball guy and the guy's like throwing rocks. Like, what's going on here?
You always got the big gutted strong man.
Yeah. They're always carrying rocks above their head to chuck at you. And then you can't pick it up. But those guys are easy.
Not strong like bear.
Not strong like bear. Is that your Japanese guy again?
No.
Yes. I like the variety. I think it's weird, though, graphically, that the weapons you pick up, because there's like four weapons, you know, you can't tell if people have them on them.
No.
Or which one you have equipped.
Unless they hit you with it.
Yeah, and it comes flying off of you.
And it's the most recent thing you picked up. So if you have a stick and you pick up a knife, bye-bye stick.
No, well, you can throw the knife and then you'll still have the stick.
Really?
Yes.
That did not happen for me.
The knife's throwable.
I know the knife's throwable.
But I'm pretty sure.
I wish you could stab with it.
I know. It doesn't matter. The stick the stick and the whip and the gun.
Never got the whip.
Okay, well, the whip's later on. Whip's pretty OP.
It's because
it gives you like a really long. It's like the stick times two.
I heard it's the best weapon in the game.
It is, yeah. And once you have it, if you know how to move, you can probably navigate near the last level, Bourbon Street, which is funny to me. There's just all this chaos happening in Bourbon Street with like alligators and
guys on motorcycles and
crazy guys and green guy. What are they? The frog suits? What is about that frog suit? That was in everything in the late 80s. Like every show and video game had the frog suit guys with like the weird, like, you know, like they're in the water. They pop out. And they look like they're wearing a lizard suit. But it must have been G.I. Joe or something.
Yeah.
Something had to have
influenced that. G.I. Joe.
American hero. Japanese hero. The music's okay. It's not groundbreaking. Like
I liked it better than Ghosts and Goblins.
Okay.
Like,
what's your opinion?
I found a lot of the music in Ghosts and Goblins very grating.
I was tinny. Yeah.
I have a problem with that.
Yeah. And you told me that like there's a register that bugs you. And so that makes sense. Yeah. And Konami's always good with their music. Even if it's not that great, it's at least serviceable. And it's not like you're not like, what in the is this? So it works. The different types of game modes were cool. They were trying something.
There was an attempt. Yeah.
But they're like the driving and the shooting parts are ugly, man. They're just like, they don't look like the same teams.
I didn't think the shooting was too bad.
I don't know. The characters look weird. They're like blocky. Like, oh, like,
well, that was very much of the time.
Yeah, that's true. But it's just jungle background. So it's easy to I don't know. It just didn't. It seemed like they were just trying to flex. Like, look, this game has everything, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think perhaps they padded the difficulty, because here's what I'm thinking is why they were so different. I know this is still game talking about gameplay, but this just hit me. I think the rental market was booming in America. So
that first level is gatekeeping enough. Why make it even harder?
But from the Japanese to American translation, perhaps the Japanese, I don't know what was going on with rental markets in Japan, if they even existed, but in America, they were booming. So they probably make a game you have to re-rent over and over.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that's,
I don't see 6-year old me getting past the first level.
Yeah. But look, I just did a bonus episode on NES hard, and like all those games are.
Yeah, I just think the first level alone is
first level is one of the hardest levels in the game.
Yeah, that's the gatekeeper. If you get past that, then you're like, oh, there's more game.
Yeah, but there's different types. And you're like, oh, wait, I selected game A, so now I just can't play the rest of the game. Now
I throw the controller and I cry.
I think it was Bayou Belly did it to you.
Come on. When you get through that first level, you understand when all of a sudden it's just like,
yeah.
Now pick up your light gun. I was like, oh, please let me still use the controller. Please.
I think that would have been that hard to code. No. I think that would just be like,
Would you like to register whatever input you just hit?
Yeah. Just be like, would you like to use a controller or a gun for this section? I know games on the NES that have done that on levels. Been like, which one would you like? Even crappy games like chiller.
Choose your path. Like,
yeah. So that was just, I don't know. But then again, Nakami. Konami, the old dyslexia is coming in thick. Konami always kind of had a lot of menu options, I noticed, for their games. If you go back and play Track and Field and Track and Field 2, there's like a crap load of unnecessary options on the start screen. And so maybe it's their thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
Except for Contra. And
Contra, you just push start.
Yeah.
You just go.
I can hear the music. but they didn't really pull it off graphically. Other than the box art's really cool looking. The back of the box is cool. I hear the manual looks comic book.
Those little comic book splashes are really cool.
They made a comic book series.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, that ran for like a year to pretty much promote this game. And here's kind of a fun fact. Bayou Billy. So you remember the television show Captain N?
No.
You don't know about Captain N? Mm-mm. Okay, so there was this animated series in the early 90s called Captain N. Was about a kid who gets sucked into his TV while playing Nintendo, and he's in the world of Nintendo. Like,
okay,
he meets Mega Man and Mother Brain and Mario and like all these people, and he's like the best person at playing a Nintendo. And in that Bayou Billy shows up in that show, and on his episode, it's the only game the Captain N couldn't beat.
That's funny.
So yeah, like he conquers Metroid and he conquers Mega Man and all that, but he can't beat Bayou Billy.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, so they knew what they were making. So, oh, and the commercial's great. If you want to look up the commercial, people listening to this, go to YouTube, look up Bayou Billy NES commercial. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
It's classic cheese, man.
Okay.
He's like fighting a gator. He's this ripped dude. He's like, oh, yeah, from the bayou. Oh, yeah, want some good jambalaya? You know, like it's like super stereotype.
It's so funny because you almost have an Aussie Australian accent.
That's how it feels though.
Like, it's American Crocodile Dundee.
I know.
That's what they wanted to make. Yeah.
Yeah. Crocodile Dundee was at like the height of popularity, and they didn't want to steal too much. So they're like, well, what's the closest thing to Australia?
They just
Louisiana.
So they just floppied his hat down and put him into some cutoffs.
And it still kind of comes off a little Australian.
Mm-hmm.
That accent's really interesting to me. I think it's cool that in our country that we can have so many thick accents. But I still feel like we're just a bunch of different little countries.
We really are.
Yeah, we really are. But yeah, it's cool. You got to see that commercial to get a chance. It's so funny.
I'll watch it when I get home.
Classic NES commercial. Like, you see the smokes. There's like a smoke machine behind him that's supposed to represent the swamp. And it's like the fakest alligator ever. He's trying to fight it. And it's like clearly just like a prosthetic alligator. And he's like, oh, mama, you're going to have to get through 8 levels of hot, fast-paced action. Like, it's so silly. But yeah, so that's great. Would you have anything to add to graphics and audio?
Not really. Okay. I mean, it's pretty cut and dry.
Yeah, it's nothing.
I did like the alligator sprites. I thought they were cool.
They were huge.
They're really big.
Yeah, and then they kind of made me worried. I like the underwater thing and they jump out.
Yeah.
I liked those the most in the whole game. So,
I mean, I saw some, I was just looking at screenshots of stuff. The motorcyclists look cool.
Yeah, but they're annoying.
I bet they are.
And the birds that just appear like
for no reason.
Yeah. And then like, oh, maybe this is a power. I was thinking like Contra, like, oh, maybe I just drop kick this bird and I'll get a nothing. No, they just F you up. Yep. Like you can't, you got to avoid the birds.
Yep.
So
just don't even try.
If you're going to play this game, avoid the birds. Also, you're not going to get very far. No. So, all right. Well,
I promise you that.
Especially if you don't have a gun. All right. So let's get to verdict. Where are you going to place Bayou, the Adventures of Bayou Billy?
The Adventures of Bayou Billy.
Why didn't they do that in a Cajun accent?
How are they going to emulate a Cajun accent on that hardware? I just want to hear it.
The Adventures of Bayou Billy, mon ami.
Bayou Billy, mon ami.
You're a Japanese guy coming back.
I wanted to like this more.
Yeah.
But it's just too damn hard.
Okay.
It really cripples itself by just being impossible. Yeah. And so it's I don't even think you can polish this turd. Like,
well, the Japanese did.
I mean, no, they made it right the first time. And they put a bunch of dookie on top of it. Like,
I think it was just probably Nintendo of America
did like,
that.
Yeah, it's like somebody cooked a pizza and then another person shit on it.
Like, I'm also thinking how Japanese, the culture was like, what is a bayou? You know, like,
well, that's why it's called Mad City.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So because they didn't even name it that.
No,
they probably went more the route of, cause you really could have just said, oh, this is a Crocodile Dundee game.
Well, cause it's not even Bourbon Street. It's just Matt. It's like
Mad City Street.
It's something. I don't know what it said, but cause it's in kanji, but
yes. Western kanji.
Which would be really funny if it does just say bourbon and they're just like, why do they have a sign for bourbon here?
I hope it says Mad City Street. That's even funnier. Yeah. It's too on the nose. Yeah. So, you don't think it's garbage?
It's not trash, but
teetering.
It's teetering. Yeah. Cause I respect the multiple gameplays.
Yeah.
Other than the driving, cause the driving, honestly, you could just, that needs to be either just taken out or fixed.
You respect the ambition, right?
But yeah, going back to last episode, it's like I respect the attempt.
Right.
But there's definitely some polish that needs to go in. And I think this would be a good game that would be prime for a remake.
Yeah, but it doesn't make any sense. Like the subject.
Just like light guns aren't a big thing anymore.
And the subject matter isn't popular.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if Steve Irwin was still alive, maybe, but. Like, I don't
rip
Japanese
rip. Just over there, just arm barring a guy. Just be like, look at this beauty,
Crocky. Put my thumb in his butthole. I'm on the same page. I'm in the exact same camp as you. Unnecessarily hard. If it had some quality of life changes, it could be, I think, at least decent. There was nothing saving this game. Nothing was going to make this game really like a classic. The production value is pretty high. I found that the marketing team and the promotional team dumped a lot of money into pushing the game.
Yeah.
But the game is too hard and it's annoyingly hard. And the enemies don't need to take that many hits.
Maybe that's why they knew that it wasn't going to get like good word of mouth. And right. So they just had to like get that initial sales push.
I used to work with a guy and he told me he'd always be able to tell me if a movie or a video game was going to suck based off how much promotion it was getting. And I was like, you're crazy. And I think about it, like I'm thinking about it right now. I'm like, okay, I see, like you're, especially back then when the internet wasn't even, it didn't even exist.
Right.
So you
have to go over to your friend Billy's house in the bayou.
Yes.
And he'd be like, hey, you want to play this game that is.
And he'd be like,
why is my child a grown man? My Japanese people are Texan.
Yeah. You live in a weird, weird dimension, my friend.
The inner workings of my mind are an enigma.
Oh, clearly. Yeah, I give it a thumbs down. It's not complete garbage. There was some heart put into it. There was some effort. Like we both said, ambitious.
If you get a chance to play it.
It's worth playing and seeing how ridiculously hard it is.
But buying it, I mean, I would be real mad if I bought this.
Definitely, you know, if I made the top 10 NES hard games I've played for the bonus episode, I would have added this on there.
Yeah, it just would have knocked somebody off the...
It would have, yeah. It would have got rid of probably Karate Kid, but... the game's tough. I didn't really feel a big sense of victory when I completed a level, except for like the shooting level with the light gun. Just, it's such a weird dip into difficulty, like, or just the opposite of a spike. Yeah. Like it's all of a sudden it goes from, I was like, oh my God, I finally made it to that level, to, oh man, I'm just catching them before they even land.
It's
so
funny, 'cause it was the complete opposite.
With a controller? That makes sense though. I mean, light gun games are supposed to be played with that.
So yeah.
They're designed for that.
And yeah, it's like trying to play Duck Hunt with a light gun is,
yeah,
very much like this.
Yes. Yeah. Way easier with a controller. I don't even know how you do it. So there we go. Adventures of Bayou Billy was a Patreon pick this week from, I think it was Cappy 79.
I think it was
79, 74. Yeah.
And he
Cappy 69.
He apologized on the Discord.
It's okay. That's the thing, is this show is about any and all games.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're going to have to get through some of them, and I'm happy that I played Bayou Billy. All right, it's time to pick a new game this week, and it's another Patreon appreciation pick. So
last one
of the month. But next week we go back to the random wheel of retro.
Oh yes, the.
But we still will be picking Patreon games
end of every month.
So, all right, so we've got our games, and let's roll that wheel. Okay, so our game is a game from developer Mythos.
Mythos.
Microprose. No, just those two. Published by Microprose and Infogrames.
Infogrames again?
It is a PC game released in 1994.
Okay.
It is a turn-based strategy space game called XCOM.
Oh, XCOM. Yeah. So is this Volpe?
This is Volpe's choice. Volpe's choice was chosen. Join us next week after we spend a week with XCOM on the PC. Oh, my Steam Deck comes tomorrow. I can play it on my Steam Deck.
Woo!
Yeah. We will see you next week. Thank you for joining us every week. And remember, spay and neuter Mr. Miller.
Come and get me. I'm squirrely.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to Japan. Good to be.
Thank you for watching with my dad. I just want to say, everybody, guys, bye.